misunderstood, unseen and unheard. Now it's our turn. Cranium grip, talk is meant. We debate in the facts.
Always love your sister, always protect your sister. And don't let nobody run over y'all. Don't let nobody take your kindness for weakness, mm-hmm. You know. And I'm a wonderful father, you know.
You are.
I'm a wonderful father.
Every time I've seen him, he's been with his kids. Like every time we've met, he's like, wait, I got my kids. I can come do the show, but I got my kids. And I've grown so fond of them. I thought they were twins the first time I met them, but they're not. Daughter's the oldest.
A lot of people, you know, think they twins, you know, because they the same height. Mm-hmm. And my daughter, and she said, and the reason why she's tiny because, you know, she's tiny.
and Johnny Jr. big, huh? So it went and levels out.
He'll eat my plate, your plate, and everybody else's plate, you know?
So what happened? So after the kids have seen the video, Dominique's seen the video, and the guy's there, and he's gonna run the story. So what happens when the story runs?
And nobody still ain't reach out to me. My godmother, she linked me to, before my godmother with this Johanna, before she linked me with, my lawyer at the time, Jane Ferguson, I was reaching out to, you know, different lawyers, you know, to, you know, try to get justice for this. Mm-hmm.
So this is on the news. So you didn't even get a lawyer until after the video was leaked 6 months later.
Exactly.
Okay.
And all the lawyers that I was talking to at the time, they telling me that they were going to take my case, you know, because it's a strong case, mm-hmm. you know, which, you know, I'm my own lawyer, but, you know, you need lawyers in a situation like this.
Representation, yeah.
Right, but I always been the type, you know, can't nobody tell me nothing about me but me, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
I don't care what people tell you, what they heard or whatever, if you ain't see it for yourself or whatever, you know, because my mom always told me don't believe in nothing until you see it happen, mm-hmm. until it happen, mm-hmm. you know. And I never been the type that, you know, to believe in the weather, because the weather gonna do what it's gonna do regardless. You know, I think you just look out there and see. Mm-hmm. You can tell what's gonna happen, you know. But, you know, from that time all the way up to then, and when that video did get linked, you know, people telling me, oh, I see you on TV and all this. Okay, you telling me something that I already know. Mm-hmm. You know, tell me something that I don't know.
So here's an interesting fact. This is when I became, your case is when I became interested in the bail system. Mm-hmm. Because this is when I learned about signature bail. So when this officer does this, he goes to jail, he signs a piece of paper, and he walks out. So he didn't get a cash money bail. All he had to do was get a signature bond. Like, all he had to do was sign his name and walked out. So he was in and out of jail in less than 2 hours, according to the Citizen Times. So this is when I realized, like, okay, this is, like, for us, if that was a citizen, they would say, that's a violent crime. Like, you don't get to sign your name out. In fact, even when the people who are doing the work to end cash money bail is saying, hey, we're kind of okay when violent offenders have a cash money bail because they're violent and we're scared, right? So this officer gets a signature bond, which means all he does is sign his name, he gets to walk out the door, and that's that. So his stay in jail was a lot less than his stay, mm-hmm. although he was the one who ended up being brought
to charges. Now, to remind you, now during this time, he's still a cop.
Yeah.
Okay, so he's still working.
Yeah.
And then now let's rewind it back to the supervisor. And she asking me all these questions and stuff, and then she was like, well, I'm going, I'm gonna be reviewing this video. So I'm like, maybe you should. Cause you wasn't there just to know what happened. You just going by what your officer telling you.
Yeah.
And you see I'm over here down and just lost my life. I'm over here bleeding. And you over here being special, you know, asking me all these questions. And as I'm asking you, trying to answer your questions, you telling me I'm lying. So remind you, she said that she was going to be reviewing this video and she was going to be getting back with me. Never happened. Never happened.
So then he's arrested. And how long does it take before this goes to trial?
About a year.
Okay.
So a year, I believe. Now, during this whole process now, ain't nobody reaching out to me.
Right. So did you hear from my mayor? Did you hear from my mayor?
No.
Police chief?
No. Nobody.
Wow.
Nobody.
Have you heard from any of them as of today?
Still nobody.
So no public apology?
No, nothing.
Okay. So how did the case go, the trial go?
He only got a year of probation. So during this whole process before he just got prosecuted a couple of weeks ago, which I ain't like the outcome with that. You know, he should have been doing time right now. You know, he only got a year of probation.
That means he's still working.
No.
Right?
No.
Or just
no,
off.
He wasn't fired. He was still
so
working.
So was he forced to resign? Or he
no.
Would,
A forced resign is like a firing. So if I force you to resign, if I say, you know, this is unbecoming of an officer, I fire you, then that looks bad on your record. It's hard to probably go get somewhere else, but he didn't quit. So when you quit, it's kind of easy to pick something back up.
Absolutely.
Right. In the papers, they said, like, he got a year probation, but the way that it's set up, he could even get it expunged off his record. Is that true?
After a year.
Wow. And so I think it's very important for those of you in the audience, when we do sit down and we talk to our leadership today that's going to be with us in the next show, that we're asking these questions like, how is this possible, right? Like, how do you get a slap on the wrist for something as heinous as
now,
that's
my
a tap
question.
On the pinky.
Like it didn't even hit
that's
the wrist.
It didn't even hit the wrist. That's a tap on a pinky.
Right, not even that. You know, but now my question, let's put it on my perspective. And if it was me did that to him or anybody else, now I remind you what the charge that they charged me with.
Yeah.
You know, now they would have probably charged me with attempting murder. You know, and everything else with that. You know, and everything else with that. You know, they would have probably tried to hang me.
So life after this attack has been hard for you. Where do you work?
Right now I'm not working because ever since that happened, you know, I just kind of like fell back from working a little bit because I needed a break because I was always, from the time that I moved to Asheville from Florida, which that's where I'm from, which I've been here for 6 years now, 2013, May of 2013 was the day I moved here with my brother, because my brother, he was already living here for 8 years. He was staying in OT in Hall Creek, those townhouses in Hall Creek. And that's where I was living at with him at the time. And my first job was McDonald's in River Ridge, in Swannanoa River Ridge, and Burger King on Tunnel Road. So I'm going, you know, I'm walking from, because at the time I didn't know the bus schedule and I was working at night. Always, you know, been a night job, you know, graveyard shift. I always like graveyard because I like, you know, my sleep and, you know, take care of stuff I need to take care of throughout the day or
whatever. Throughout the day,
And work at night because it'd be less people that I have to, you know, deal with or whatever.
My husband likes to work the night shift as well.
And which I'm a people person, you know, I can interact on any level or anybody level or whatever, you know, but I ain't never been the type that like to be around a big crowd. You know, because for one, I don't know what's on the next person's mind.
Right.
I don't know, you know,
So you're always paranoid now.
Right,
like,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
And so one of the things you told me and we talked was like, listen, so many people know me now. It's hard to work. I don't want them asking me a lot of questions about
and
this.
And then, you know, what's making me mad the most, you know, they keep hollering about I'm a celebrity. No, I'm not a celebrity. I am me, myself, and I am Johnny Jermaine Rush. You know, no, I'm not no celebrity, you know, or whatever, how they trying to put it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You mm-hmm. know, but as they saying it, you know, they being funny, like, this is a joke. Okay, let me try doing this to you and see how you feel. Mm-hmm. You know, and, you know, thank God for that little bit of money, but at the same time, that money would never brought back my life.
Of course.
And let's talk about the money, because we talked about that a little bit. Like, people think now, you know, you've had this situation and you have a lot of money. Talk about that. Like, you had some thoughts on that.
Well, majority, my lawyer, which we never did discuss the percentage of what he's going to get, which he got half of the money, which I don't understand how he get half of my money. Mm-hmm.
Well, lawyers are expensive. My lawyer's pretty expensive. But, she gets most of my money.
But like I say, we never did.
Talk about.
You never had a contract about it.
Exactly. And the majority of that money went to my kids. Mm-hmm. You know, so when they get older, you know, they have something to fall back on. Mm-hmm. And they still getting the rest of it too, and you know, in my will.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, so if anything was to happen to me, you know, they get all of that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, and I was planning on with my share, you know, get me some land, mm-hmm. you know, and put me a house on it or whatever, you know, just start investing, mm-hmm. you know, and my family keep telling me I need to come home or I need to leave. Why I shouldn't have to leave from, you know.
What's working for you now.
Right.
Right.
And, you know, and I never been the type to run away from my problem. Whatever I get myself into, I'm going to get myself out of. Mm-hmm. You know, I shouldn't have to leave, you know, and come back home, which that's the whole point of me leaving home, mm-hmm. you know, to better myself. So why would I want to go backwards?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? Now, if that was the case, yeah, I move closer back home so I can have a little bit more support.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, I shouldn't have to run away from nowhere.
Right.
You know, I should be able to live free like everybody else. I didn't do nothing wrong. You know, mm-hmm. this happened to me, you know. So over the period of time, you know, my own family wasn't really reaching out to me like, you know, I felt like they, should have. Mm-hmm. But, you know, from the time my mom passed away, which I was 15 at the time, and at my mom's funeral, they were telling me, you know, to be strong. I'm a young man now. Mm-hmm. It's time for you to start mm-hmm. taking care of yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, and we'll be there for you as much as we can, as long as we can. Mm-hmm. So from that point to now, which is I'm 34, I'll be 35 in November, I've been taking care of myself. You know, I've pretty much been on my own.
Mm-hmm.
Every situation, everything I got, you know, I ever dealt with, I took care of it mm-hmm. to the best of my ability. Because it ain't nothing that I put myself into that I can't get myself out of, you know, and I always think twice, mm-hmm. you know.
So one of the reasons why I felt like it was important for you to come here today and to tell your story was because I hadn't heard from you. I didn't see you on the news. I didn't hear you after the verdict. I was like, I want to hear from you. Like, is this brother okay? Like, what, like, we need to hear from him. Is this the first interview you've done?
I pushed the issue to, you know, have my lawyer to have me meet face to face with Chris Hitzman. Because mm-hmm. I got questions. Mm-hmm. You know, and like my lawyer told him, told the judge during the time when he had got prosecuted, you know, and the whole time, as y'all seen in that video, I was very respectful. Mm-hmm. I never got out of character, mm-hmm. you know, and my lawyer was telling the judge that I easily could have, you know, mm-hmm. said, fuck it, you know, mm-hmm. I could have went after him, mm-hmm. you know, because it ain't hard to get. Find out where somebody live or mm-hmm. stay or whatever.
But that's not who you are as a person. He's a family man.
Exactly. You know, and I don't hate him to this day. You mm-hmm. know, But I do hate what he did, but I don't hate him as individual because that wasn't nothing but the devil's work. Yeah. You know, I prayed for him and I, you know, wished the best for him, you know. But when my lawyer finally, you know, set up this meeting for me to meet him face to face, my only question in my mind, why did you put your hands on me? Why, what did I did that bad enough for you to did what you did to me?
What did he say?
I didn't know if you had a gun or a knife or a weapon.
But he searched you.
Right. So that gave you the right to beat me, to choke me, to tase me.
So then what did he say?
He really didn't even have nothing to say. It was like he was just puzzled, you know? And the question, the answer that he was giving me, it wasn't agreeable, you know?
And did any other like news people reach out to really hear from you, hear your story? Have you told, because you told us so much about like what happened in your home and like what happened.
Well, it was other news reporters were trying to reach out to me. They was coming to my house, you know, calling my phone, you know, leaving their card in the door. I just slid right on to the rest, you know.
And he tried to do that to us too, but I was like, hey, we need you here.
You know, you know, because I don't really like to talk about my business unless it's needed. You know,
so why did you feel like it was needed now? Why now? Why here? Why is this important now?
Because everybody need to know what really happened and what's been going on with me from that time to now. You know, because I still got a lot of anger built up in me. You know, and I need to let that out before I've been on done something, you know, that I will regret later. And then, you know, that'll leave my kids in a situation which they will understand, you know, always you always protect yourself no matter what, you know. But that would have left them with questions.
I'm just super proud of you for coming. I know it was hard. It was hard to tell your story. But like, you know, I told you that there are people in this community that really care about you, really care about what happened. And I think being here makes it so that the story doesn't get pushed to the background. And like we're able to remind people of what happened and we're able to hold our new leadership in accountable. For what happened. I mean, since this has happened, we have a new city manager, a new county manager, a new sheriff, and we don't want this to happen again. So it's really important that we move in this direction. Okay, and it's really important that we keep your story to the forefront. Did you have any more questions for him before we let him go?
I just want to, just before we leave, I know that this has taught you so much and has changed you so much. And do you feel like, how would you, what kind of advice would you give people, young men? How do you handle such a thing? And what would you have done differently maybe to avoid something this traumatic from happening?
Well, the best advice that I could give them with that situation, you know, don't let that situation lead more than where it shouldn't lead to, you know, because they have a job to do.
Right.
And I'm gonna make you do your job, you know, because it don't been new at the time. I don't got to stop after this don't happen. And, you know, and I be scared, but at the same time, you know, I still make them do their job like you supposed to. Your job is to protect and serve, not, you know, harass people and, you know,
injure them.
Right. Almost, you know, about to take a person's life, you know.
And, so know your rights and what to expect from people who are supposed to protect and serve us.
And, correct. And it don't take a scientist to figure that out, you know. That's just common sense.
Yep.
You know, and I always been the type that I treat people the way I want to be treated.
Right.
You know, because you never know when you're going to need that person again. You know, and I was raised don't never bite the hand that feeds you. You know, and no matter where I go in this world, I'm going to always be me. I'm not going to change for nobody. If you cannot accept me for who I am, then you don't need to be in my life. And the main thing I hate the most is people taking my kindness for weakness.
Right.
So we wanna,
I hate that with a passion.
We just want to clap it up for you. Thank you for joining us here on the Asheville View. We totally appreciate you for coming.
Thank you.
Let's just give him a hand and just thank him for being here. I know it's been an emotional episode. We thank you for hanging in there with us. It's a pretty lengthy episode, pretty important story to hear. We'll see you next week on the Asheville View.
Thank you.
Thank you.